What can we say after this except thank you, Jesus, for all he'd done for us, the work on the cross. He was nailed to the cross for me. Let's just hallelujah, amen. The work is done. For an opening, I'll probably go to Philippians, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Sturgis, Michigan. He said Philippi here, but to all of us at Sturgis, Michigan, we say this, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the risen Lord, be alive to God, proclaim the good news. We have a lot of good news to proclaim. There's so much more than any of us will get done in a day's time proclaiming the good news. I like that little sign out in the foyer there. It says, he came so that we may have life and that we may have life to the full. Are we experiencing that life to the full? Just an affirmation I had this morning. I was preparing for this service. I come across Psalm 107. He was nailed to the cross. And just to go through that, and I was thinking about maybe contacting the song leader. Maybe we can sing that song too. And then this morning, and it just crossed my mind, no, God can bring all this together. The morning I talked to him a little bit about it, about singing that song, and he gets out his note and says, yeah, it's on the list. And it's just an affirmation that God is with us in this. And I'll probably just start this with that. It says, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior who would die on the cross. Why? For me. Can we all say that to ourselves? For me. We think he did it for some sinner, maybe in Chicago or a drunk or something else. But we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So realizing that we need him and he did it for me, that's kind of the message I want to bring out, that we make it personal for ourselves. He did it for me. And in that and out of that, we can live for him. Now comes in mind of a trucker. I work on generators on these big trucks, semis that have the big sleeper, that have a little truck or sleep generator on the side there. Here a while back, I had one that came in there. I'll probably never forget it. But on the side of his big sleeper, he had 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name, which is Christians or Christ's one, if we will humble ourselves and seek his face and pray and turn from our wicked ways, he will heal our lands, our marriages, our churches, our farms, our businesses, if we humble ourselves. But if we're proud and we can do it all on our own and stuff, we probably can't expect his blessings and stuff. But if we humble ourselves and realize we need him, he will do it. It's a promise he said. He says, freely shedding his precious lifeblood that the sinner might be made free. Me, the sinner. Freely he gave, and freely let us give too. What he gave us, we can give out. If he didn't bring it into us, we have nothing to give out. And just the chorus, he was nailed to the cross for me. Believing that for me, he was nailed to the cross for me. Just again and again, he brings that out. So the second verse, thus he left his heavenly glory to accomplish the Father's plan. Are we willing to leave our glory, our homes, our comfortable position in life to follow God's plan and to do what he wants us to? If we live with Christ, we will also suffer with him. He had a wonderful home up there in heaven, so glorious. Why would he want to leave such love like we have never known before, coming down so that we, as sinners, could be made free? Another thing that trucker had on his back door, he had Jesus standing there, and he was holding this guy, just loving on him. This guy was just giving up, and that guy still had the mallet in his one hand and the nail in his other hand. At first I thought, well, can I love like Jesus? Then it came to me that that's me, Jesus holding me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He held me in his hands. He loved me for all I did. And he still loved me like that. If he can hold that sinner or that guy that was nailing him to the cross, he just said, God forgive them, for they realize not what they do. A lot of that was our own ways. We didn't realize how bad we are and how much we need a Savior. If we really realize that, realizing that God so loves us and feel ourselves being up there like this guy that nailed him to the cross and feel that love, then out of that we can live for him. We cannot do it good enough to come to him, but what he has done for us, we can live out of that. He was born of the Virgin Mary, took upon him the form of a man. He came down here just as we are, and his pain and all the suffering and the mocking and everything felt to him just like it would for us today, but he was willing to do it for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He did that for our sins. There's nothing we can do to fix those sins or come to make them right, but believe on the blood of Jesus Christ. Did that just wash over us, or did it truly come into our hearts and making us a different man to live differently? One thing I read probably in Wiersbe or whatever it was, the guy was asking about the freedom in Christ. You mean if I'm free in Christ, I can do anything I want to? And the guy said, yeah, you can do anything you want to. But remember this, once you are free in Christ, if you're truly born again and saved and have this new life in you, your want-to list will be totally different than what it was. It will be what Christ wants for us. So yeah, we can do what we want to in Christ. Because a truly born-again Christian will only want what Christ wants and for each other. He carried our sorrows too. He's a healer of every sickness. That kind of caught my eyes, because we believe that he died for our sins. But do we believe that he can take all our sorrows too? He did that for us too. We don't have to carry those sorrows. He took all those upon himself. And he's a healer of every sickness. Every sickness and everything that we have, he was here to take those. Can we unload it on him? Some of them will, I don't know if every sickness will be healed now, but, you know, as short as life is compared to eternity, we will be healed if we are in Christ Jesus. This he came to the world to do. That's what he came to do. So he gave his life for others in redeeming this world from sin. He's gone to prepare a mansion that at last we may enter in. That's what he's doing now. He's preparing a mansion for you and me. We can be there. Kind of the title of this morning is Living as Citizens of Heaven. He did all this, and he died for our sins, and he came to the world to do all this. What does that mean to us today now? We believe he did that back, and he's been crucified as a risen Lord. We rejoice in that. But what does it mean for our life today? Do we truly take it for us and live out of that we are now citizens of heaven? We are in the family of God. He is our Father. So that Second Philippians, or first one, verse 27, it starts as live as citizens of heaven. It says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Are we standing together? Are we united in that? Or do we have agendas of our own? Are we all one in Christ? It says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. That kind of stuck out to me, because about a year ago, I was ordained a minister already, and I was at a gathering, and a fellow there prophesied over me. There's a lot of people there, but he picked me out and prophesied. First, he said, he just sees a screw. Later on, he said, well, I can't give that. He doesn't know what, but God kept on him. Pretty soon, he said, it's in a carburetor, and it's the adjusting screw. Of course, being a mechanic, I understood this very well, that when you turn the screw shut, it shuts the flow of gas, which gives power to the carburetor to make the engine go and give its power. So he said, people are going to try to shut you down, shut your ministry down and just encourage me to keep going. And that very thing happened. There's people that said all kinds of nasty things about me and trying to shut me down, that if I'd have been in my old life not knowing what Jesus did for me and the grace of God upon me, it would have devastated me to where I couldn't even go on. But that just made me realize what the power of the Holy Spirit actually is in your life, to be able to overcome some of that stuff and go on. But by the grace of God, I guess we're here today sharing the good news with each other, and weren't able to shut the screw completely on me, so let's just keep going. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God Himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. How many of us realize the privilege of suffering for Him? We went through some, I guess for us, we'd say some fairly tough times and stuff, but the more I go through there, the privilege of suffering for Jesus Christ. If we wouldn't get knocked down, or I get rid of self and be with Christ and totally depend on Him, what would happen for eternal life for me? So it is a privilege if He puts things in our lives that bring us down to where we need to be so that we can live for Him. It is a privilege. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. The next part, starting in verse 2 or chapter 2, is having the attitude of Christ. If we believe what He did for us and why He went through this, and now that we want to live out of this, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. If that is being done, it's a true sign that we've been born again and that what Christ came to do is working in us. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, after all that happened, therefore, I put over here, unless I die, I stand alone. If I don't die and go in the ground, and that's what happened to Jesus. He died. He went to the ground. It's like a kernel of corn. You farmers understand this. Goes into the ground, and you'll never see this again. But out of that comes a lot more. So if we die to self, like Christ died, His gave up everything, out of that, a lot of good can come out of this. But if I try to stand alone and do things on my own without Jesus Christ, very little will come out of it. So it's, therefore, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We love to have Jesus as our Savior, but what about having Him as our Lord? Doing everything, living out of what He wants us to do? Or we have a lot of selfish ways and going our own ways? Or do we truly have Him as Lord? And shine brightly for Christ. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. That verse is kind of not contradicts, but we cannot work out our salvation. But what He answers the question or the thing there is, for God is working in you. What God works into us, we can work out of, but we cannot work to own or earn our salvation. But what God works into us, out of that we can live for Christ. Imagine there's different words for that too, but we cannot give anything that we don't have. If we put nothing into our bank account, we don't expect to draw anything out. So, some places it says, seek diligently for the kingdom of God. This, the Word of God, is the best thing we'll ever have. We can build our kingdoms here on earth, have big farms, big businesses, and all that, but there is nothing in life or here on earth that is worth as much as digging into the Scriptures and having God as your personal Savior. Do everything without complaining and arguing. It doesn't say do some things without arguing and complaining. It says everything. I know Jim Zembla, he's got a book out, and he talks about a church, building a church and stuff. There's nothing more of a church killer when people are talking behind the backs against each other. So out of love, if we want to build a church and truly work together, we need to face things with love. And says, do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run a race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Paul was teaching these people at Philippi what it is to live for Christ and the joy he will have if he sees his followers in that too. So, chapter 3 is the priceless value of knowing Christ. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. And I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for these dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We're just through that, reminded again of what Christ has done for us, and that's what we rely on. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Paul tells what all has been done. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strict obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, all the things he did for on his own stuff, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through the faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. So that's where... This is hallelujah, Christ arose, it is finished. When he was up there and said, it is finished, that's exactly what it meant. The plan for salvation is finished, it was all done, he shed his blood. Just believing in that is what it takes. Nothing can be added to it, it must simply be accepted. For the Lord will not share his glory with any other. Salvation is receiving this free gift by faith without any claim of our own. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Can we realize how big that love was for us, that he sent his only begotten Son? Some of us have 5, 6, 7 children. Would we send one of our children to save another person's life and actually give him up? And he had only one son, and he sent it because he had so much love. So did it for you and me. So let's rejoice, be alive, and proclaim It says, freely we have received, let's freely give. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We cannot find it anywhere else or in anything else. So we don't have to look any further. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That includes everything there is. I've got a book that says, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I like that book. It's just, it brings you down to the point. We can try other agendas in different ways and different religions and have agendas of our own, but it's Jesus Christ plus nothing equals everything. Everything we need is found in Him. There's another little thing. There was once a rather eccentric evangelist named Alexander Wooten who was approached by a young man who asked, what must I do to be saved? It's too late, Wooten replied, and went about his work. The young man became alarmed. Do you mean that it's too late for me to be saved? Is there nothing I can do? Too late, said Wooten. It's already been done. The only thing you can do is believe what Jesus did on the cross. Time's coming to close here. I just want to close with Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God bless everyone. I'll turn the time over to Dana, and let's rejoice in the Lord and live for Him.